Well, if I say to you right now that the service is finished and you feel free to walk out from the church or just attend the lunch, and then suddenly I will say, hang on a minute, I have further instructions for you to go. And I think we have something like this today. This is the last part of the first letter of Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. And this part, especially if you follow the Pew's Bibles, it says final instructions, final instructions. And the final instructions means they come at last, but they might not be really lesser in meaning or in importance than what has gone before. If you were here last week, we talked about the coming of the Lord. And today, there is no one particular line of thoughts that we are going to follow from this. But I know many of you have done a lot of essays. So what I did, I just grouped some verses in three titles, and that to make it easier for you to follow. And this is about living for God. Apostle Paul was writing to these Christians. He wanted them to continue to grow in their faith. This young church that he left prematurely because of the persecution, and then because he had to retreat, he was taken away by his friends. And as he went away and he had to send his friends, Timothy and Silas, he sent them back to Thessalonica to investigate and to see how these people were going. And many good reports were brought back that these people were really living in faith. That was what we read in the first place, in the first chapter. He says, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continue to remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." These are true believers. And we heard Michael Jensen in his first sermons talked about this were treasured possession of God. These are the people of God. And now Apostle Paul wants these people to continue to live as God's people, to make decisions that in line with the followers of Christ. There, because earlier there in chapter 3, we read also that he urged them to live in such a way that they will be different from others. He says to them, "We were encouraging you, we were comforting you and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." And that is very important. That is what the Apostle Paul is dwelling on. He wants the followers of Christ to live in such a way that they will finish really well. Because what Jesus has done is so great. And we, when we come to Christ and accept him to be our Lord, that means we have become disciples of Jesus Christ. We sing of his forgiveness. And we glory in what he has done. And truly, if I have to call all of you to come out today to tell me your testimonies, how Christ has delivered you from the dominion of sins, your testimony will be really great. And I think we will all be rejoicing. But Jesus doesn't want you to stop there. He wants you to go all the way. And that is why Apostle Paul last week was warning these people and urging them to live in such a way when Christ returns, he will find you honoring him, living as rescued, set apart, filled with the Holy Spirit. So now these three, these instructions, I group them in three headings, beginning from verse 12. Now, and this is a way departing from what has gone, and he is beginning a new section. Firstly, he wants their attitude towards their leaders, and it is to be really different. And I think we all work, most of us work, we respect those who are our leaders, isn't it? It's a God-given, really, authority to those who are placed in positions of authority. It's just like even the leader of music today, when he gets up, He wants to lead us in a certain way, and so we are to follow him. But here, Apostle Paul, he was speaking specifically about the leaders of the church. He called the body of Christ to have this attitude. What is this? To respect. To respect. What does the meaning of respect? How do you respect your leader? And actually, I said to myself, I'm not going to say a lot of things because I will work my way up later to tell you why really it is very important for us to respect our leaders. Because now it's sounding like blowing my trumpet, isn't it? It sounded like that. But actually, if we take it from the biblical perspective, this is the order we have here. And it's something so crucial. It's going deeper. It's going deeper to God's ways of blessings, his body, who raises up leaders. And we see if the leaders were not respected, we wouldn't have the church. Even we wouldn't have the church at Thessalonica. We wouldn't have these people coming to faith because Apostle Paul, Timothy, and Silas, these are the groups who have written this letter, because he says Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. These were the apostles. They were recognized to be the leaders of God's people, of the emerging church of Jesus Christ. People endowed with the knowledge of God. God has equipped them, and they were recognized by the body of Christ that they are leaders. So these people, they were part of what we know as Jerusalem Council. In Acts 15, when many Gentiles were coming to church, believing in Jesus Christ, and the Jews, believers, were thinking, what is going on? We thought Messiah is only for the Jews. And now these people are coming who were eating things that we were not eating. They were living different lifestyles. And then there was Jerusalem Council. And then Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy. These were the group, especially Barnabas was there. And these are the people. And then Apostle Paul knows very well what it means to be a leader. A leader is someone who has been affirmed by the body. They don't walk just to position. I know you will be annoyed if I tell you that I had to wait like for 20 or 19 years or 20 years to be recognized by the Presbyterian Church of Victoria or Australia, that I'm truly called by God and I can be ordained and I can preach the word of God. I think some of you may not believe that. Why they had to do that? Because they want to affirm, they want to go through, they got really, would you call it criteria? They got a criteria or criterion. And one of the criterion is to be a husband of one wife. And I was not married that time. Maybe they were waiting for me to be married after that so that I can qualify. Well, you may say to yourself, well, I don't need that and I just can be leader. Anyway, I'm winning souls anyway. And say, well, look, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. To be a leader, you don't make yourself a leader. You have to be raised. And actually, you will have to show whether you are truly a leader or not. And that is why the Christians there are called to respect or to honor. What does that mean, to honor? So to honor your leader is a quality. It's a quality of your heart which enables you to behave toward that person in a certain way. It's part of the work of the Spirit in you recognizing that God has placed people in positions. I don't want to spend a lot of time in this because I will come back to this. He wants them to treat them well. And these words in the original language, it comes as a perfect tense. And the perfect tense in Greek or biblical Greek is used to describe a completed action which produces results that are still in effect to this day. That will be just your attitude. And the lack of it is a symptom, really, of the fact that you are not honoring God's order. Just like one example, I have believed in Jesus. But you go on believing, isn't it? Completed actions, and then with continuing results. Honor those who work very hard. They work very hard. Well, sometimes they don't seem to be working very hard. So if they don't work very hard, and then they have the obligation to work hard because they have been called. Let me go quickly to the second one because I want to work my way back, as I mentioned. Secondly, your attitude toward your brothers is very important because this is what will help you to maintain your faith and also to flourish as a believer and to grow in the knowledge of God. He wants them, because it is quite interesting that the verse that calls people to respect their leaders is only one verse. One verse only. Why is that? One verse. Because actually no one can do it without the following verses. No one can do that. Well, now he calls them also from 13 part B. He said to them, hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. So you respect them, and then not because you have to, because you love them. And Apostle Paul, all that they did it out of love. And our Lord Jesus Christ loved us and saved us out of love. And so we are called here as Christians in the second part of my in this presentation, that our attitude toward one another, we are to urge one another, to warn those who are idle. So we are called to be working. So if someone is leaving among us, seem to be not interested in doing anything and working, and then we have the obligation as the body in love to tell them that the best Christian witness is to be able to engage in the world. Because you engaging in working, then you are setting an example, and also you are providing for yourself, and also you are helping others who are weak. So Apostle Paul was speaking to these people, encouraging them to live as Christians and not to think that Christ has come, because some people were just sitting idly and not wanting to do anything because the day is near, the Christ is coming, and so I don't have to do anything. Even in our modern days, there were people who were doing that. And so here our attitude towards one another, we are not to go out and tell them, like in a way, look, I have a great job, then you have to find a job. It doesn't work like that. You may just want to find out what are the reason why they are not having a job, and then you may pray with them. How many times we have prayed for people here and they got a job? I think I have witnesses here. People who have told us that they need a job, and people have prayed, and also they got a job. And so also, we as Christians, we are called to encourage the timid, those who are fearful. So those who are thinking that they will not make it, those who are fearing the circumstances that they face. So again, we also as brothers and sisters, we are called by the Lord in his word also to encourage. And to encourage is to speak positively and to encourage the person that this is possible in the light of what the Lord himself has done for us. And then this is faith. We have to have faith that our Lord is the one who is going to help us, and there is no need for us to be timid, and then also to help the weak. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to help the weak. But we as Christians, we are called, if you are strong, you help the weak. But you say, this person, he has weakened himself. Maybe he is not diligent. But the word didn't give us any explanation why we should help them. But just simply because they are weak. And so if you find yourself to be strong and having all the resources, well, as a Christian, you have the obligation to go alongside those who are weak. Because it is grace that you are strong, and it is a privilege that you are strong, and it will be a great blessing for you to be able to take the place of your master and to be his feet and to be his hands and to be his heart, to be poured out for the blessings of others. This is our convictions, because here is the principle by which we live, and also these are the means by which we engage with one another and help one another and also impact the world. To encourage the timid. We are not all strong. Since we shouldn't be boasting when we are able to help those who are weak. And actually, we are the weak, and they are the strong. Because through our weakness, they become strong. Jesus said, he became poor, so that through his poverty, we become rich. And Apostle Paul is telling these people who were living among non-believers in the Roman empires, he was encouraging them that the way for you to overcome any persecution and also to advance the cause of the gospel, you need to have these attitudes toward one another, so that it's not one person who is strong, who is overcoming sins, who is making good choices. All of us who have come to believe in Jesus Christ, the expectation is that we draw from the same fountain, that we are all to be strong, no left behind, isn't it? And today we live in terrible days where we are not growing together as a body of Christ. And actually we will see shortly when we come to the third part of this text, when your attitude towards the Lord will be brought to surface. When was the last time you have encouraged a brother? When was the last time you have come alongside a sister and check out whether what they are doing is in alignment with their confession of Christ as Lord? When was the last time? We need to help each other, isn't it? I myself, I have said from this place again and again that I have been helped by many people in my Christian walk. I have this friend of mine, when I was struggling, I said, oh yes, I'm done with the Presbyterians and I'm just going back to Egypt, where I've come from. And this man said to me, be patient, because English is not my first language, it's not my second language, it's my third or fourth, and I had to learn that. I have to learn English. And actually, I was tempted to preach part of my sermon today in Arabic and Nuer, and I know there are Arabic speakers who are here, and I can grab my Arabic and English and Nuer Bible also, I can read from that. So it is a noble thing to be able to do that. To encourage one another, not to make decisions that will just put the Lord in a test. Let us not test the Lord, the Bible says. Let us encourage one another. Another example. I waited until I was 36. I tell those who are not married, you don't have to wait until you are 36. You don't have to wait until you are 36. But I wanted to make sure that I have a Christian wife, so that on Sunday we can all come to church. We can invite Christian brothers. We can pray for the advancements of the kingdom of Jesus Christ together, because I'm a Christian. And I'm called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. How can you do that without really honoring the word of God? We say that you shouldn't be yoked with non-believers. When we are called not to marry a non-believer, it is only permitted when you got married, both of you, you were not Christians, and then one person becomes a Christian. Then you cannot break because it's God who has brought you together. And we are to pray for the salvation of the other parties. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. That is a big thing, isn't it? Patience is a big problem with everyone. Not only those who are nice to you, as you have heard me saying to this Christian. Many Christians have failed here to be patient with everyone because we are tempted to be patient with those we love. How about those we have little interaction with? Can we be patient with them? I've seen people driving just like that, and then when they see you, like, then they race with you, isn't it? Or they boom, well, out of no reason, and then you just go back boom too. So you have this communication going on. You see, I always remind myself, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have to just be carried. You see, I have to really switch off and just pay no attention to that. And especially in the church, we need that among ourselves. That is why it says, be patient with everyone, even in the church, with your leaders and with the people you lead. You are to be patient, because if you are not patient, you will not get to where the Lord wants to lead you. I give one example. When you want to pray, like, and you can't pray, when you feel like the Lord is not coming through, what can you do? You need to be patient too. And then you just sit there maybe, or you grab a cup of tea, you say, Lord, I'm unable to pray, please. And then you start having your tea. Before you finish your cup of tea, he might come through. And then you put it aside and you start praying. How about that? But if you say, I'm finished, gone, or things are not working for you, I'm going. It doesn't work like that. Patience. And those who are patient are the ones who are able to overcome. Even the people of Israel, they were called to in exile to be patient and to wait until their appointed time is finished. And they were asked to pray for the prosperity of the land into which the Lord has exiled them, so that if those people prosper, they will prosper too. They were called to do that. Make sure no one pays back wrong for wrong. I don't want to explain that. But it might be hard for you to do that, isn't it? Okay, what are your resources to be able to do this? What are your resources? How do you get to that point where you will not wrong a person who has wronged you so badly? Your faith in the Lord, isn't it? He said, I am the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm a good shepherd. You ask me, I will lead you. So our resources are faith in the Lord and our hope in Him. But always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. To each other as believers and to everyone else. Be kind. They ask you of why you are like that, why you are so different. So these are the attitudes that we are called to have toward one another as God's people, so that we can finish well. So that we can finish well. Now, the test. The test for you. You have heard me saying our attitude towards our leaders and our attitude towards one another. And now, how do we keep our lamp burning as individuals? How do we grow in our faith as believers? He said this, be joyful always. That is the first thing. Be joyful. What does that mean? Rejoice always. rejoice. How can I rejoice when things are going against me? How can I rejoice when everybody is against me? How can I rejoice when everything is going wrong? How can I rejoice when the Lord is not answering my prayer? How can I rejoice? Well, we know that joy is a vital part of our expression of faith. Rejoice always, and I say again, rejoice. The joy of the Lord is our strength, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And for you as a Christian, you need to make sure that there is joy in your life, because this joy or rejoicing and thanksgiving are our voicing of our faith in our risen Savior. We are rejoicing because, not because of anything else, because we have been redeemed, we have been set free, our sins have been forgiven, and we have been set on a path that will end before the Lord himself. And this is a great reason for us to rejoice, and it's a work of the Holy Spirit that it springs out from your heart. As a result of your faith and your trust and hope in your Lord, who has saved you, who is going on saving you every day, and who is going to save you on that day. Joy. Rejoice. Be joyful always, or rejoice always. Rejoice always. What did I say here? Because you are rejoicing because you know that you, the Lord is coming, or he will call you home. You are not going to hell. You are going to rejoice with the Lord once and for all. And also, it's an expression of the trust of the fact that the Lord can meet your needs. He has promised, he is faithful. There is no prayer that he cannot answer. But what are the hindrances that hinder us from getting into this joyful mood? Always is our interference with the Lord and our desires to make things happen for ourselves. We go by what we see or what we hear from other people. And we don't go, most of the time, by what the Lord says to us in his word. Joy and thanksgiving are very important part of our Christian walk and expressions. And we are to rejoice always when things are good or bad, when people are against us or are for us. If a joy that comes from this knowledge, that in all things, it's a joy that comes from this knowledge, that in all things God works for good of them who loves him. He will do it. Just trust him. Persevere. Saul, King Saul, he was rejected because he didn't persevere. He didn't rejoice in the God of Israel. He didn't believe his character that he will come through. He wanted to take things to his hand and his slaughter when he was not called to be the priest. He was called to be the king and to come under the instructions of Samuel. He was rejected. He lost his ministry. He lost the blessing altogether. You have noticed that verse 16 says, be joyful always. And I jump to verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is how he has designed it. But I have left verse 17. Pray continually. Why? Because if there is a lack of joy, you need to pray continuously. If you are not thanking God, you need to pray. Because in prayer, God will answer you. That is why you have to pray continually. We all know Luke 18, isn't it? The persistent woman. The unjust judge. The Lord knows that if we come like that, he said he will vindicate us. And now, let me say this. No, it's just dragging on. many of our issues, unsolved issues and problems, is because we don't pray. How many prayer meetings do we have? I'm not speaking about this church only, but across this nation. Why there is no revival? Why there is no salvation of many souls? No prayers. Things happen in prayer and in the spiritual realm before they could say happen in our natural world. When God's people pray, they know in their heart that what they have prayed for is going to come forth. It might be a prayer that may take months and years, but you will not miss the fact that you have been praying, because as you pray, you are strengthening yourself in your faith. We grow weaker in our faith because we don't pray, because when we pray, we commune with God. We are in His presence. And when we are in His presence, we are reminded of His goodness and kindness. We are reminded of His blessing. We are reminded of the work of the cross. We are reminded of the power of God, that we can be delivered from whatever we are feeling. Even if people are wronging us, we won't see them as enemies. We see them as needy, as they need prayer, they need Jesus, they need to forget about everything else, and to know that they are dearly loved and that Jesus went to the cross for them. And you don't have to fight for yourself. How many times you are fighting with people? Pray continually. Pray it through. Don't stop praying the Lord. We love singing this, but we don't do it. And these are the factors that affect our walk with Christ as believers. If we want to be strong Christians, joyful, patient, loving, kind, what we have said there, encouraging. You need this. You need to not to go out from here. You need to hear final instructions from the Lord. Desperately, we need this. Might be your last day today to hear this. As you go out from there, from here, maybe you need to put things in order. You need to break that friendships. You need to pay that debt. You need to just ask forgiveness from your husband or your wife. Love them more. And love others. Be kind. Maybe you haven't been so kind to anyone. Just go. Just straight away and be kind. Well, I was being shown kindness the last few days. I broke my glass and it was so terrible. I was thinking, oh, how am I going to do that? I'm traveling on Thursday, on Monday. And that was on Friday or Thursday maybe. Even I can't remember. And then I went there and this lady, she was just so amazing. She said, oh, okay, I will replace that, but I will charge you a lot of money. That was what she said. She said, oh, it may take a few days. And I thought, oh, how am I going to survive? And yesterday she called me and said, oh, I fixed it. And so she said, come and pick it up just in 2 days. And she was just so kind and gracious. Even in small things like this, these are very important because they will help us really overcome and also grow in our faith. The real challenge we face as Christians, which sucks joy from our hearts, is when things are really bad. When things are bad. When all roads seem to have been blocked, whether by men or God's providence Himself, we should go back to the cross and work our way up. Let us go back and remember what the Lord has done for us. You remember I mentioned here, I don't know when was that, that word encouraged me so much, that the people at Sardis, they were called to remember what they have heard and received, not a new thing. Yes. This is the will of God for us, to be joyful and to be prayerfully and to give thanks in all circumstances, whether they are good or bad. For this is God's will for us. This is what He has designed for us, to be able to receive many blessings. Joyless Christian life is a symptom of a theological error. Mm. Where do we place our hope? Maybe we are placing our hope in other things. So when these things are not happening, we have no joy. We are not rejoicing in the Lord. There is no real conviction of the goodness of God that was demonstrated to us by our Savior Jesus Christ, confirmed in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, and also people who know the blood of Jesus works for us. The blood protects us. These things should let us really be persistent and wanting to press on and to overcome. And now, Apostle Paul, he knows that there is no way for us to be able to respect our leaders if we are a people who cannot even interact with one another in kindness and in love. We cannot do that. We cannot respect our leaders if we cannot pray, if we are not praying continually, if we are not joyful, if we are not rejoicing in what the Lord has designed for us and thankful. We cannot. We will fight with our leaders all the time. We cannot. And we are warned in verse 19 even, do not put out the spirit fire. Because these things will help us to respect our leaders and also to admonish one another and to encourage one another, to break things that are not good, to be bold, to live for Christ. These three verses, verse 19 and 20 and 21 and 22, these are mainly with the Spirit. Keep the Spirit alive. Keep the Spirit of God. Because if the Holy Spirit is not alive in you, is quenched or grieved, you cannot be strong enough to resist sin and temptations, to go the wrong path. So we are called to not to put out the Spirit's fire, the Spirit that is burning for us to reach the lost and to do good and to sacrifice and to just empty our wallets for the sake of the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and to give up things that seem to be really great. Giving out home, giving up homes, giving up careers and things like that, and just going to be nobody for the sake of the Lord. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Prophecies. Ooh. Now we go to the extremes. I know I'm going over time. We go to the extremes. How do we go to extremes? Prophecies. Yeah, we are a Presbyterian church, isn't it? We follow only the word. Okay? Okay, here Apostle Paul is writing to these churches, telling them like, look, discern. Someone may come up and say something that is from the Lord, that will encourage you. You just don't disregard this. I have shared many times how many people have encouraged me. Like one friend of mine, he said to me, the calls of God are irrevocable. When I was feeling like I was going to give up and just nothing to do when the training was so hard. And oppositions and struggles and hurdles. They said to me, the calls of God are irrevocable. And I held fast to that word. And true, that is the word of God. And it sounds like a prophecy, isn't it? Because the prophecy is what comes really and is helpful and is in alignment with the will of God. And actually God will use that very thing, that prophetic, to bring about life and blessings. When we got married, we had 3 years or 2 years. We were apart for 2 years from my wife, and we didn't have children. Got married in 2004. And you know, some cultures, you got married 3 months later, your wife must be pregnant. If not, you are in trouble. Arab cultures, 3 months. Maybe newer culture, 6 months. In other cultures, maybe 1 year. Beyond that, you are in big troubles. And people were starting to talk and so forth. And even I would hear those things. We were at rest. And one person even said, oh, if this couple have children, I will believe that this guy, the God he serves, is a true God. And one day I was just preaching through the Bible. I just examined the barrenness in the Bible. And I saw clearly that barrenness was not the problem. Sin was the problem. Because those who were born after that, they were great men of God. And they challenged sins. Samuel, even Joseph, Rahel had trouble. Or Rahel, Rachel. Even Leah, her sister. Elizabeth, mother of John. Hannah. Look at those who were born after that. I preached that in one of our evening services that was going back in, I think that was December 2006. And then Michael Jensen heard that and he said, oh, please, can you preach this in the morning? And then I came out preaching in the morning. I should go back. And that evening, late Murray Neal, our friend who has gone to be with the Lord, he was the elder on duty. And as he walked out, because when I was preaching that, my wife was just sitting there and I said, we are going to see God's hands. That was in December. A week later, I preached that sermon. 2 weeks later, my wife was pregnant. And Daniel was born after that. And another 4 children were born. And Mary said to me, that was prophetic. So I had to say, we are going to see God's hand. Let us speak blessings. Maybe what you speak. Because we don't go to the extreme where we cannot say anything or we say anything. But we are called to be discerning. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. That means don't despise them. Test everything. You test them because you have the capacity to test these things. And hold to what is good and avoid what kind of evil. Anything that is not helpful. Finally, we know also that we will never be able to respect our leaders and to hold them in a high position or just respect them. Actually, respect, that means acknowledge them, recognize their position, their call of God. We will not be able to do that. We will not be able to help one another and to be joyful and to be thankful if God himself is not helping us. You have seen this again and again. Apostle Paul will never say anything without saying that we can do it ourselves. That is why he attached this always, his prayers. May God himself, the God of peace, live in peace with everyone, isn't it? How can we do that? God of peace himself will pour out his peace upon us and he will enable us to live in peace. It's God of peace himself who will help us. It's God himself who will help us in all these things. It's God who will give us joy. That is why Apostle Paul prays. And this is not the first place in which he prays. He prays in chapter 3. May the Lord make your love increase. It's God who increases our love and his strength to stand against Satan and what is evil. It's God. Maybe you just need to pray this simple prayer. I pray every day and I find it working every day. What is that prayer? Lord, help me. If that is the only prayer you pray as a Christian, it's enough. Lord, help me. Help you to do what? Help me to be true to you and to be true to the calling you have laid on my life. To be your follower and to be a child of God and to keep myself from impurities of this world and the love of money and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Help me. Is God himself the God of peace who is able to give you peace? Is God of holiness who is able to sanctify you and to make you holy? To sanctify is to make holy again and again. That is why we come and hear his word. We pray together. We read the Bible. We do everything. We act kindly toward others. These are means of grace to sanctify you through and through again and again. May your Holy Spirit, we read in verse 19, that we are not to put the Spirit fire out. But how can we keep this Spirit burning? He said, may your Holy Spirit, soul and body be kept blameless by the same God. Apostle Paul, that is why he needed to tell these final instructions. And that is why we need to hear these instructions ourselves and to put them into practice. Because even in this text, in this letter, five verses, I would say the theme of blamelessness is coming again and again. Blamelessness. Christ expects us to be blameless. Why? Because he took all the blames. Why should we be blamed? That we are not living according to his will. And now Apostle Paul says that the reasons he is praying, he's saying because God is faithful. The one who has called you is faithful and he will do all these things. What a grace. Why should you not be rejoicing when everything lies with him? All that you need to do is to open your heart and to put your hand in his hand and say, Lord, I am yours. Please take hold of me. Help me in my weakness and help me to be strong. And that is what really Apostle Paul was doing. And he did this from verse 13 as a doxology, reminding us that we will never be able to respect our leaders as we should and love one another from the heart and keep ourselves on fire for the Lord without the mercy of the God of peace himself, who pours out his peace and his love upon us again and again as we have first experienced it through Christ himself when we first believed on that day. When I came to know Jesus Christ, my life was never been the same and I was being transformed and the joy was just given into my heart and I was just changed and I changed my direction from smoking into just like a sin. I have nothing to do with it anymore. I'm going to conferences that are not of God. No conferences. Many books that are not of God. The Word of God. I've purchased a new Bible that I started to mark. And then I started to have joy that was not depending on whether my circumstances were good or not, or whether I was cool or not. I do have actually a lot of cool photos going back to 30 years or 35 years ago. Young people, you may ask me, I can show them to you. You see, even as you are cool like that, God loves you. He wants you to come and experience his love. But all that he wants from you is to say no to the world and to depart from anything that is not confessing his great and his wonderful name. And there you will have the wonders of his blessings. He will bring your way things that you can never receive in any other way. Final instructions are for us to live for God and for Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And it's not a hard thing for us to do because the God himself, the God who has created the whole universe, is able to pour out his blessings upon those who open their hearts and say, Lord, I am yours. You have redeemed him on the cross of Calvary. I'm tempted to say one word in new language, my mother tongue. Apostle Paul, Rankut. So where the Marikin Yamara Lord of Quarkun Dial and Contin Latki Yaka work in the Shandar. Lord okay, there come Ludmurunga Keko, Yoka Yeo, Bia Kut Dia Gor, Shar Gurin and Yenge, Yen, Lord okay, Kamaka Guardian Rung, Kajukarkut. Kajoga Yeo, Shanga Mal, Kanego Kene, Shara Turke, Rick Kanego Kene. Could you look at anything gone and she let she go to be let a bit of bang, can any corn and dwell? Kashiang wind moon or beacon coast beacon and earth, Kalwaganate a content chuch, tin content, tin quite quiet. Could be entaka palping, be at a libida, Canadian, Chang and any corn like a jerk, could be another pigeon or share midjerk, but chulk a midjerk, one the dial, be an eighty, go lochian, go coy lochian, be an okin, be our gore. Lo jun te dere kwarni yeshu gan da dial kapal ka ngas ke ye ka lar ko ta lo ai lar je ta lo ai ka tin go tin dial kon le ke ye mi chang bo wo ye re ring ne kon ko foin de min chi cho re kwarni yeshu te ko lang ko be lo cha wo a ye ko sa je la re dun a mai dun je dob lam ber kun gan da dial ka dob ka shwar jo ko shwar je teu ka gwe je ye kan dial bia ka tem ko te ye ri cha ye ko kan ko da nan nan ko foin de chang nal kan pin Kosmala bayer look ka bayer look re teka dun ko biyen bom re yeka and anashe shaltin. Let us pray.